The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus says, "I thank you, my God, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, God, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed to me and handed over to me by my God, and no one knows the Son except the God, and no one knows the God except the Son, and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Last year, I was visiting my brother's family down in Texas, and when I go visit them, I jump into whatever family chaos is going on when you have two kids under the age of three. There's a fair amount of chaos. You just got to kind of get on the train and keep going when you visit families in that particular stage of their lives. Now, I was responsible for several days of babysitting, and so I tried to work up a routine with the older one of the two by we get up, we eat breakfast, we had structured play, whether that was playing with water things in the sink, maybe we made some Play-Doh, right? We had some organized activity. And then we would have some free play where we're gonna run around. And then we'd have lunch and go for a walk where I'd put him in the stroller and he'd pass out on the walk. And then I would have to try to transfer him from the stroller to the crib, which was a completely different beast, and that's a different sermon. But we had a good routine where we kind of had these steps where they kind of knew what to expect from me and they knew what would be coming with their nap time or when their bodies were full of food or whatever it was. Now, this worked really well until my nephew's other grandma came back from a trip, my sister-in-law's mom, and all of the routines changed. Have you ever witnessed this in a person? Where you think you have this sort of routine down or a person's personality, and then one other person comes in the room and you see a totally different kind of personhood emerge. We went from peacefully playing, you know, with a little Play-Doh on the floor, some nice water, we had our blueberries and yogurt, to him throwing a full-on tantrum on the floor, right? Pounding fists, screaming, tears flying, the whole kit and caboodle of a tantrum. And do you know why he lost his mind? Anyone with young kids, what makes them most upset, most angry? Well, no. And no, because they have some version in their head of what they think something should be, and you have not matched that version, right? So they have something they haven't communicated to you, but you are to mysteriously be able to match that expectation, right? So his other grandma walked in, made herself a cup of tea. She was getting a biscuit to have with her tea. He demanded a biscuit, right? He wanted a biscuit. She broke it in half. Y'all know where this is going because you've spent time with little people. And that's when the meltdown started. The audacity that she broke the biscuit in half for a two-year-old who is likely to choke on things. And he lost his mind, right? And I was flabbergasted because I thought, what is going on? He has spent all day with me and I haven't seen this tantrum, but just one little, and it was done. Hell hath no fury like a child who doesn't get what they want, how they want it, and when they want it in the exact way they want it, even if that plan has not been articulated to anyone else. If they want a whole cookie, it better be whole, Grandma. Don't mess around with me and give me a broken cookie. Now, children, especially at a young age, haven't quite learned how to articulate fully all of what they want and need in the world, and so they act out in a wide range of behaviors. Sometimes it's just a bit of pouting when they're not getting their way or someone says no, and other times it's a bit more intense, shall we say, with the tears and the fists pounding the floor. But hey, aren't we all children? Some of us are a bit taller. Some of us are a bit older. Some of us have figured out how to articulate our needs just a little bit better. Whenever we want a whole cookie, we can maybe ask for a whole cookie, or we have peace to deal with when there is a broken cookie and it doesn't mean our world is ending. Jesus spoke to the crowd saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn." Jesus said to the folks gathered, "Y'all are acting ridiculous. You're like little kids throwing tantrums over broken cookies and other nonsense that I don't even understand. John the Baptist came, and you didn't like him because he didn't eat or drink, well, except for the whole wild locust and honey bit. And so therefore he was possessed by a demon. But when the Son of Man came," and who is the Son of Man? Jesus, right? "Well, when I came," Jesus said, "I was eating and drinking with y'all, and you called me a glutton and a drunkard. So which is it? Are we supposed to eat with you or not?" Right? What do you want from your Savior? What do you want from this person that you call your faith leader? If we eat, then we're gluttons. If we don't eat, then we're possessed with a demon. We're really between a rock and a hard place, possessed by a demon, right? Now, Jesus says that humanity at the time of his living ministry was kind of a hot mess. That's Pastor Meredith's interpretation of scripture, right? Hot mess, right? Not quite biblical words. But they were yelling at each other. They were confused about what they wanted and didn't want, and people spent more and more time placing blame on each other than anything else. Which, of course, we know nothing about in 2023. But if we just ponder, hypothetically, of course, what it might feel like to live in a society where we're all busy pointing fingers and having meltdowns over broken cookies and lacking in reason and logic to be able to interact with each other like mature human beings, if we can just imagine what hypothetically that might feel like if that's what society was doing today, Jesus goes on to say to the folks gathered around that while life is really hard and that sometimes all of our feelings and our emotions come up, that we have all of this really heavy stuff in our lives, that it causes us to feel frustrated, misheard, misunderstood, ignored, and maybe just kind of crappy. And while we are welcome to have our moments where we throw ourselves on the ground, slap our hands on the floor, wail our tears, he wants us to remember that we can take rest in Jesus Christ, who has learned all of these things through God, his holy parent. That when we throw the fits and the tantrums and say nasty things about people and about ourselves, and we slap our hands and the tears come trailing down our cheeks, that we're not alone. That when we are in the worst of the worst, or maybe even just some of the less than great stuff in our lives, that we're not left there on the floor throwing a tantrum, crying our tears, but that our holy God scoops us up in her loving arms, pulls us close, and let those tears wet his shoulders, right? Just covering his shirt. And they rub our backs and reassure us that this too will pass. That's what the yoke with Christ feels like. It's not just this board that crosses the shoulders like of animals, like a farm animal, but it's the embrace of a loving parent, the embrace of a loving grandparent, auntie or uncle, friend or family member who maybe cannot take away all of the pain in the moment, but they can be present with you in the chaos of it all. The yoke of Christ doesn't take away pain or sadness or heartache, but it gives you just a little bit of the pressure, right? The reassurance of a hug, the feeling of being a little less alone in your hurt. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, sweet one, when you're tired of being tired, when your body needs a break, and your heart needs peace, and your mind needs hope, when you need something to show you that this isn't all that you will know for the rest of your life. Come to me with your heavy burdens, the hurt and pain, the words of anger and doubt that you don't even want to breathe aloud. Come to me, Jesus says, and I will give you rest." Jesus can't magically make it all go away, unfortunately, but he will give us rest, that our shoulders won't be the only things holding on to the weight of the world. But Jesus pulls us close, lets our tears roll down his shoulder, and lets our sadness wail into his neck. Thanks be to God. Amen.